Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, September 28th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host, and this is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with prayer and devotions, and my input at times on the goings-on in our world today. We're going to also be reading, the prayers we're going to be reading are from the Valley of Vision. It is a collection of Puritan prayers. We will also be reading a devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, which is a wonderful devotional. And then our Bible reading is going to be from the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible. It is a new translation based off the NASB 1995 edition from Lachman. This new one is the most accurate texturally. It's very new. I know the people who were involved with it, very, very texturally accurate. So very, very good. There are going to be links in the show notes to everything I read where you can go online and read it with me if you wish to. Typically when I'm doing my podcast in the morning, I will read from online, just because the print's bigger and easier to read while I'm trying to record and all. But I would definitely recommend getting hard copies of them. And also in the show notes will be links to the hard copies of these for these resources. Full confession, I do not have a hard copy yet of the LSB, and as I've mentioned through multiple podcasts now, my wife and I are still trying to figure out which one we're going to get and what we want to spend on it, and, you know, because we want a good quality one. We don't want, and not that they're going to make, not that 316 Publishing, who is the one who's publishing that for the folks that did the translation, they do great quality. We just want to make sure, like one of my early MacArthur study Bibles, I didn't really want to spend on a better backing and stuff, and I wore my MacArthur study Bible out. I still use it, but I have to be very careful. It's in pieces and I have certain pages that are loose and stuff like that. So we want to find one that can last for our household. I don't know whether we'll end up getting one for each of us or not with our MacArthur study Bibles. We actually have one for each of us and then a couple others in other translations. Like I think we have a King James here as well. Just like we have multiple Reformation study Bibles from Ligonier. One that my wife got me as a gift, and then we've acquired others, honestly, through thrift stores. People go to get rid of them, and we grabbed them up because they're a wonderful resource. But again, definitely would encourage you to get the hard copies, because who knows how, with all the crazy stuff going on in this world, we just never know whether the internet's going to be there, whether we're going to have power to even access it, you know, you name it. So having the hard copies, that way you can stay in the Word of God, you can stay in solid prayer, you can stay in solid devotion. So I would definitely encourage it. And I have to tell you, I'm sorry I'm a little late this morning, but it was actually intentional. I took the day off today, and so slept in a little. My sweet, sweet little Antigone, who we call Tiggy, she is a schnoodle. She is a 10-year-old schnoodle heading towards 11, but she is my little sweetheart. She may be that old, but she's still our puppy. She still acts like a puppy. We consider her a puppy. She does not like Papa to sleep in. She does not like Daddy to sleep in. She wants to get up, and she was down. She couldn't quite get to the side of the bed to wake me up. She pats on the side of the bed. She doesn't bother me, but she pats. But her mother, Emma, who is our schnauzer, had pulled her bed out to a point where Tiggy couldn't get by the bed to get to my side of the bed to get to me. So she was down there kind of half barking, kind of roof, roof. And I heard it, and I was already kind of awake anyways. So I brought them down. But I was trying to sleep in a little bit. I took the day off today. And the reason I took the day off today is it is my wife and I's wedding anniversary today. It is our 31st wedding anniversary. So I would definitely like to wish my wife, my beautiful princess. I am her handsome. I am her. Well, she says I'm handsome. I disagree with her. I appreciate the blindness of love. But while I am her bald Avenger, she is my beautiful princess. And so my beautiful princess and I have been married for 31 years. God definitely blessed me. I will always be unworthy of any gift he gives, but definitely in that case, he blessed me so much. And my wife is more of a blessing every day. So I would definitely wish her a happy anniversary. And the way we're celebrating today, as opposed to typically what you would think, we've gotten to the point we are showing our age and that we tend to go out and eat early instead of, excuse me, I'm gonna take some coffee. We tend to go out and eat early, but what we're going to do is we're going to go out and have dinner. We're going to kind of in between lunch and dinner, probably closer to lunch, go out to eat at a place we want to go eat. But we also are having the blessing of watching our grandson today, just over 10 month old grandson today. So we are going to go to lunch today, and it's going to be just Nana and Papa and little Boo. So we get to enjoy that. I mean, we had a wonderful time with him yesterday. Actually, his mom came to get him and he was asleep on me, and it was wonderful just to have that little man snuggled up on Papa. That was awesome. But so we get to go have lunch with him. I do want to put forward, I would ask you to pray, and we're obviously constantly praying for all those in Florida and the areas around, that either are or are about to get hammered by Hurricane Ian. When I checked 20 minutes ago, Ian was a Category 4 hurricane and was within a few miles an hour of being classified as a Category 5. So, and from what I saw last night on Weather Channel or News, one or the other talking about it, excuse me, this is a biggest hurricane they've seen in 100 years, was the comment made. I don't know how accurate that is. I'm obviously not a hurricane aficionado in any way, shape, or form. I've only lived in Florida for a year and a half or so, around the time I met my wife and we got married and stuff, and then we left. But, you know, so, and I was fortunate I never had to deal with a hurricane while I lived there. And when we lived down in Georgia, we had a few come through, but by the time they got anywhere near us, they had weakened drastically. Though we did have my brother-in-law and his wife have to kind of flee Savannah and come stay with us for a while during one of them. But I've never really had to deal with that. But they're about to get hammered. And the thing is that the track still that I'm seeing, the eye of that thing is going to head straight up and go right across the top of my mother and father-in-law, my brother-in-law there, and our sister-in-law, my sister-in-law. And so we just, needless to say, we're praying, but we would definitely ask for you to pray for them. And obviously, first, we would want to pray for safety for them. But what I always do, it's the same is true that I do for my children. And some of you may go, wow, that's a little crass or whatever. And I don't mean it to be crass. It's not meant to be uncaring. Yes, we want to pray for their safety. Yes, we want to pray that they get through this as unscathed as possible. But most of all, from a Christian perspective, we want to pray that all of this drives them to the feet of Christ, that all of this prepares them and sets them up to come to a saving faith in Christ. Because while all this can be terrible and physical life-threatening, the eternal is more important. The things, and I've talked about it before, is part of why I do my reading and part of why I'm sharing it with you, is this helps get me, the prayers and the devotion and the reading the Bible helps get me in a more godly mindset, in a more biblical mindset, to shape my day. It gets me thinking about the things of heaven versus the things of earth, which we're called to do throughout the scriptures, to be heavenly minded, not worldly minded, not earthly minded. So it's terrible. Don't get me wrong. And in the middle of that, I'd be going, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my house. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my car. Oh my gosh, we're going to lose our lives. Yes, I get that. But, and that's incredibly important. But our eternal souls are more important. And so I would pray, as much as I pray, we are praying for the safety of all those in Florida and the surrounding areas that are being hammered, going to be hammered, either are going to be or are being hammered by this already, and will be as slow as this thing's supposed to slow down to for multiple days. I mean, shoot, one thing I saw, 24 inches of rain, 2 foot of rain. I don't know any place, no matter how wet it is or no matter how used to it they are, that is going to handle 24 inches of rain. I know here in the desert, the amount of flash flooding it would cause, I'm sorry, I'm going to ramble a little bit because I'm recording. I'm doing it differently. I'm not upstairs in my office. That's part of why it took a little bit later. And I hope the quality is good. It seemed to be when I ran a test, but I'm actually downstairs recording on my phone with my reading stuff here. I'm going to actually be reading from the hard copy of Valley of Vision and Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And then I do have the LSB up on my tablet. But, excuse me. Where was it going? Oh, so I was rambling about it. But so we're obviously very concerned. We want them to come to a saving faith in Christ because that's so much more critical. And we'll probably, I'm going to try to remember as we hit the end, though I didn't make it in my notes I made for the show today. I tried to do notes today to try to flow a little bit better this morning. So I'm trying something a little different. But yeah, I was talking about the desert. I'm sitting down here in my den with the windows open, fans running because the temperatures got down in the low 70s this morning. So I wanted to enjoy some of the air. But here in the desert, you know, I got asked one time when I was in the Navy, I got asked one time by somebody, you know, I was stationed on the East Coast, and somebody I served with had asked me because he saw something, some news agency did an article and they were trying to do it as a government wasting money. And please know, I'm very aware, having been in the Navy and seen procurement and all that. Yeah, government waste money. I'm not arguing that. But they were trying to make the argument that doing flood research in Arizona was stupid because it's the desert. Well, if you've ever lived in the desert, flood research is perfect here because the fact is it floods every year. When we have monsoons, it floods because the ground is so hard. The desert is so unable to really absorb anything beyond an inch or two of water that it floods. And it floods drastically, and it destroys millions and millions of dollars a year. So I can't imagine, even in places that are more used to handling the water, 24 inches of rain, that honestly, that alone is terrifying to me. Much less the, you know, what was it, 155 mile an hour winds, and that I saw for this morning. That's when I saw that it was a Cat 4, but Category 5 is 157 sustained. So that's why I'm saying it is almost a Cat 5 as of when I heard. I don't know if it's weakened yet, if it's still growing yet. It's supposed to weaken over Florida. Of course, the people in Florida are not going to care that it's weakening because they're going to be getting hammered by it for like 2 full days because it was moving at something like 10 miles an hour, the whole storm, and it's actually supposed to slow down. So can you imagine that constant hammering for hours and hours? So anyways, I say all that, I'm rambling a little bit, but that we definitely need to pray for them. We need to pray for everybody. I mean, almost everybody in this world needs prayer. But I specifically want to kind of pray for those folks this morning. And both, like I said, both for their physical well-being, but also for their spiritual, because the spiritual is most important. So why don't we go ahead? I mean, since I've digressed so long, why don't we go ahead this morning? Before we get into our readings, let's go ahead and pray. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with what we've been seeing with what we've been seeing from the Weather Channel and the news, the storm that is about, the hurricane that is about to hit Florida or has already hit. I don't know if it's made landfall yet, but it's hit Florida, and you would know. definitely put so many at risk between the storm surges and the amount of rainfall and the massive winds and everything else and the slow speed where they're going to get hammered, not over short periods of time, but for multiple days. They're talking at least 2 days. And Lord, we would definitely pray for the safety of those that are going to get hammered by this. But Lord, as important as that is, and we know ourselves that it would be important to us, Lord, we would pray that through these trials, that these trials would send these people to you, to send them in prayer to you, to provide grace and peace for them, but would also set them up for the Holy Spirit to replace their hearts of stone with a heart of flesh, and would truly, truly prepare them to come to a saving faith in Christ. And Lord, we would pray that even through these trials for our Christian brothers and sisters that are in the middle of that, that they would truly shine your light in these trials, that they would be great, great witnesses for you among their neighbors, so that you would be honored in all things. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, let's go ahead and get some coffee there. Let's go ahead and get going with our reading this morning. I'm first going to read to us from Valley of Vision. And like I said, my Valley of Vision and Spurgeon, I'm actually going to read hard copy today because I have them down here and it's easier to go from that to the LSB on the tablet versus trying to swap back and forth between all of them. So, as has been our practice every morning, we're going to start with our resting on God and grace and trials. So, resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. All right. And now, grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them, unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Okay, and now, fourth day morning, title for it is True Christianity. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided, and in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity, not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to Him, our conformity to Him, our knowledge of Him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction, and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. Okay. We are going to move to our devotion this morning. It's Charles Haddon Spurgeon's September 28th morning. This one's going to be interesting. The print is much smaller. The scripture for this article is Psalm 33:13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of man. Perhaps no figure of speech represents God in a more gracious light than when he is spoken of as stooping from his throne and coming down from heaven to attend to the wants and to behold the woes of mankind. We love him who, when Sodom and Gomorrah were full of iniquity, would not destroy those cities until he had made a personal visitation of them. We cannot help pouring out our heart in affection for our Lord, who inclines his ear from the highest glory and puts it to the lip of the dying sinner, whose failing heart longs after reconciliation. How can we but love him when we know that he numbers the very hairs of our heads, marks our path, and orders our ways? Especially is this great truth brought near to our heart when we recollect how attentive he is, not merely to the temporal interests of his creatures, but to their spiritual concerns. Though leagues of distance lie between the finite creature and the infinite Creator, yet there are links uniting both. When a tear is wept by thee, think not that God doth not behold, for like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Thy sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Thy whisper can incline his ear unto thee. Thy prayer can stay his hand. Thy faith can move his arm. Think not that God sits on high, taking no account of thee. Remember that however poor and needy thou art, yet the Lord thinketh upon thee. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Oh, then repeat the truth that never tires. No God is like the God my soul desires. He at whose voice heaven trembles, even he, great as he is, knows how to stoop to me. Amen. What a wonderful devotion this morning. All right. So our scripture readings this morning. We're going to start in 2 Samuel 24. This is when David is driven to take a census, which brings about the wrath of God. And again, the anger of Yahweh. I'm sorry. Let me have some coffee for. All right. 2 Samuel 24. And again, the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and it incited David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the military force who was with him, go about now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and take a census of the people, that I may know the total count of the people. But Joab said to the king, Now may Yahweh your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? Nevertheless, the king's word stood strong against Joab and against the commanders of the military force. So Joab and the commanders of the military force went out from the presence of the king to take a census of the people of Israel. And they crossed the Jordan and camped in Aroer, on the right side of the city that is in the middle of the valley of Gad and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tatim Hodshi, and they came to Dan Jan and around to Sidon, and came to the fortified city of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites. And they went out to the south of Judah to Beersheba. So they had gone about through the whole land, and they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the total count of the census of the people to the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Then David's heart struck him after he had counted the people. So David said to Yahweh, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Yahweh, please take away the iniquity of your slave, for I have acted very foolishly. Then David arose in the morning, and the word of Yahweh came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and speak to David. Thus says Yahweh, I am offering you 3 things. Choose for yourself one of them, and I will do that to you. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your adversaries while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now know and see what word I shall return to him who sent me. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of Yahweh, for his compassions are abundant. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So Yahweh sent a pestilence against Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. Then the angel sent forth his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it. And Yahweh relented of the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, It is enough. Now relax your hand. And the angel of Yahweh was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Then David spoke to Yahweh when he saw the angel who was striking down the people and said, Behold, it is I who have sinned, and it is I who have done unrighteousness. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my father's house. So Gad came to David that day and said to him, Go up, erect an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up according to the word of Gad, just as Yahweh had commanded. And Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servants crossing over toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed his face to the ground before the king. Then Araunah said, Why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor from you, in order to build an altar to Yahweh, that the plague may be checked from being upon the people. And Araunah said to David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his sight. Look, the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. Everything, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, May Yahweh your God accept you. However, the king said to Araunah, No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to Yahweh my God, which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Then David built there an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus Yahweh was moved by the entreaty for the land, and the plague was checked from being upon Israel. All right. And now, Galatians 4. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and stewards until the day set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were enslaved under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now, having known God, or rather, having been known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you want to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you for nothing. I beg of you, brothers, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I proclaimed the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is the sense of blessing you had? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They zealously seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will zealously seek them. But it is good always to be zealously sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the servant woman and one by the free woman. But the son by the servant woman had been born according to the flesh, while the son by the free woman through the promise. This is spoken with allegory, for these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai bearing children into slavery. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not give birth. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate one than of the one, who has a husband. And you, brothers, in accordance with Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh was persecuting him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the servant woman and her son, for the son of the servant woman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brothers, we are not children of a servant woman, but of the free woman. All right. And Ezekiel 31. Let me take some coffee here. Now it happened in the 11th month. Now it happened in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first of the month, that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, to whom do you liken yourself in your greatness? Behold, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches and forest shade, and lofty in height, and its top was among the clouds. The waters made it grow, the deep made it high. With its rivers it was going all around its planting place, and sent out its conduits to all the trees of the field. Therefore its height was loftier than all the trees of the field, and its boughs became many and its branches long, because of many waters as it spread them out. All the birds of the sky nested in its boughs, and under its branches all the beasts of the field gave birth, and all great nations lived under its shade. So it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its foliage, for its roots extended to many waters. The cedars in God's garden could not match it. The cypresses could not liken themselves with its boughs, and the plane trees were not like its branches. No tree in God's garden could liken itself with it in its beauty. I made it beautiful with the multitude of its foliage, and all the trees of Eden which were in the garden of God were jealous of it. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, because it is lofty in height, and has put its top among the clouds, and its heart is high up in its loftiness, therefore I will give it into the hand of a dominant one of the nations. He will thoroughly deal with it according to its wickedness. I have driven it away. Strangers, ruthless ones of the nations, have cut it down and abandoned it. On the mountains and in all the valleys, its foliage have fallen, and its boughs have been broken in all the ravines of the land, and all the peoples of the earth have gone down from its shade and abandoned it. On its downfall, all the birds of the sky will dwell, and all the beasts of the field will be on its fallen branches, so that all the trees by the waters may not be lofty in their height, nor put their top among the clouds, nor their dominant ones, all the well-watered ones, stand in their loftiness. For they have all been given over to death, to the earth beneath, among the sons of men, with those who go down to the pit. Thus says Lord Yahweh, on the day when it went down to Sheol, I caused mourning. I covered it with the deep over it, and held back its rivers, and its many waters were stopped up. And I made Lebanon mourn for it, and all the trees of the field wilted away on account of it. I made the nations quake at the sound of its downfall, when I made it go down to Sheol, with those who go down to the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choicest and best of Lebanon. All the well-watered ones were comforted in the earth beneath. They also went down with it to Sheol, to those who were slain by the sword, and those who were its strength lived under its shade among the nations, to which among the trees of Eden do you thus liken yourself in glory and greatness? Yet you will be brought down with the trees of Eden to the earth beneath. You will lie in the midst of the uncircumcised, with those who were slain by the sword. So is Pharaoh and all his multitude, declares Lord Yahweh. All right. And Psalm 79. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead body of your slaves for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your holy ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a mockery and derision to those around us. How long, O Yahweh, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his abode. Do not remember our former iniquities against us. Let your compassion quickly approach us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and atone for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let it be known among the nations before our eyes. Vengeance for the blood of your slaves, which has been poured out. Let the groaning of the prisoners come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. But as for us, as your people and the sheep of your pasture, we will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Amen. All right, that is our reading for the day. Again, as I said before, and as we did at the beginning of this, please pray for those in Florida and the surrounding areas. Like I said, both for their physical well-being, but also for their spiritual well-being, that God would be honored in all of it, and that those facing these trials would be brought to a saving faith in Christ, which, as I said, and is actually the most important. I think Paul said it best. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Therefore, he even saw that even in his death, because he had a saving faith in Christ, because he was God's servant, that in dying, he went to a better place. And I'm not saying that, oh, we want all these people to die. But what I'm saying it for is an indication that their spiritual well-being is more critical than their physical well-being. We want to pray for both, but the one is definitely more important than the other. So let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being able to get together this morning and to be able to share this time, to be able to share this reading, and spend this time together. Dear Lord, I would pray that it would edify us, it would equip us, it would prepare us for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And for those of us who are saved, it would set us up so that we truly would behave as solid witnesses for Christ in this world, so that you would be honored, so that you would get all the glory. In your name we pray, amen. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And as I've told you before, do all that you do today to the glory of God. Have a good one.